Welcome to the Christian Ministries Church Podcast. As you listen, we pray God's blessing be over you and that He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Now let's join Pastor Ashley Ellison.
Well, if you have your Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, the supernatural dimension of God. The supernatural, you hear that word, supernatural. What does that mean to you? Supernatural, I want you to think about that. Well, if you just kind of break it down, things happen in the natural, and when it's super, wouldn't that put it above it? It'd be like, that's just not natural. That's above natural. That's not normal. And we read about that in Scripture. And we read about it, and you know, sometimes we read about it, and we say, that was awesome. That was awesome for them. But you know, I've never seen anything really like that, and that's supernatural. I mean, we read about Moses parting the sea. Actually, Moses didn't part the sea, but Moses being there in the sea parts. Say it right. Wow, I don't know, I've been to the lake, and I've thought about it. Wouldn't it be cool? But I don't have anybody chasing me, and I'm just not in need of a parting to the sea right there. So, but that's supernatural. You know, Elijah getting caught up. Okay, God, I'm ready. Nothing. Supernatural, but you read about it in Scripture, you're like, this is Peter walking on water, one of my favorite. I've tried. It hasn't happened yet. I have tried. God, please. I was on the Sea of Galilee and wanted to try it, and my wife held me down. Don't jump out of the boat, babe. I'm telling you, you'll sink. Blinded eyes seen. Dead, lifeless bodies coming back to life. I mean, you read this stuff in Scripture, and you can see the supernatural. And a lot of times we look at that and go, well, that was great. But I don't ever see anything like that in my life. And you know, if you've been around the things of God long enough, maybe you've seen some things. That was supernatural. And if you really think about it, there are things that happen in life that are above natural. If you've been serving God any time at all, how many of y'all go, I've seen something that just wasn't natural. I mean, it was, God showed up, and that wasn't natural. I've seen that. And I think that, you know, we pray for things that are above natural. God, I don't know how I'm going to be able to find or buy a house. I remember that was a season of our life. God, how are we going to be able to get into house and do this? God, I'm needing the healing of my body and the doctor's reports and some. I'm needing something supernatural, God. And so we find ourselves in positions. I mean, before every trip that we've ever taken in with our family on any vacation or distance, we always pray, God, I'm needing you to guard me because there are some wackos out there. And we're going to be driving down the road at 70 mile an hour, and there's going to be another one driving right the opposite direction of us at 70 mile an hour. And God, we're needing your protection. Do you realize that there's a lot of supernatural protection just on the highway that happens for us? Because I know some people that are driving, and they don't need to be driving. God has things that happen that are above the natural. And really, they are outside of us. If we are not careful, we can get misdirected, misguided. We can get off course. If we're not careful, our focus and our expectations, all associated with the name God or Jesus, all become centered around something external. Now think about that. I'm needing the healing. I'm needing protection driving. I'm needing a house. I'm needing a sea parted. I'm needing to get caught up. I'm needing to walk on water. And I'm needing deadless bodies to come to life. Everything that happens, I think, oftentimes in the Christian life, if we're not careful, becomes all associated with the external things of God. And now follow me, because some of you are like, where's he going with this? I'm going somewhere. But external moves is all I've been talking about this morning. And in church, especially a church that believes in the supernatural, we find sometimes us only talking about the supernatural. Now, what else is there? Ephesians 3:20. Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power, and you can underline this, at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we can ask or think. At work within. See, we get caught up on what he can do beyond what we can think, ask, or imagine. And I love that verse. And we forget that it's through his mighty power that's at work within us, internal. Now, I haven't really talked a lot about this, but the truth is, it's only the internal things that are going with us after this life. But everything we tend to get caught up is on a lot of the external, because how do we live life externally? We live it getting up and waking up and our eyes open, and we get to taste food. We get to taste, I don't know, well, I'll get off of the taste thing. I'm on tasting right now. I'm amazed at the things that we see every day. We get up and we have to go and take care of ourselves externally, put the makeup on for the women, getting up, going to the restroom, getting our teeth brushed, being presentable, getting that hair where it needs to be, for that that's getting a little gray, putting some color in there. Different things happening all the time. We're working on the external. Are y'all hearing me? Because I don't want to spend a bunch more time there, but what I want you to see is whether your body is upright or in a wheelchair, your body's not really that significant in eternity, because you get a new one. Your house paid for or not paid for isn't real significant in eternity. Your job's not real significant in eternity. Regardless of how you're living here, well, let me say this. Regardless of how long you're living here isn't real significant in the scope of eternity. So we have to ask ourselves, what good is it if God takes care of everything externally for us, but we don't get the internal taken care of? I am not here preaching a message against the things externally that happen. You need to know that, because God does move supernaturally, externally. I've seen it time and time again. But what difference does it make if God heals you and you live the next 25 years in total health and then you spend eternity in hell? What difference? I mean, we're leaving a lot out if we're so caught up on the external and we forget. See, you have a miracle in your finances and then you spend 20 years robbing God. You miss something. And as pastor, I want to teach on the supernatural power of God. And I want to teach on what gets that to happen and what ignites that. Because we got a lot of people praying for a miracle. We got a lot of people praying for something externally. We got a lot of people living life believing for the external, but their internal's all messed up. Internally, inside of us. I have seen ministries get all in the ditch with a certain ideology. Praise God he's healed us or brought us out of financial ruin or protected our family in a bad car accident, provided a place to live for us. Ultimately, all of those are either got to be a reflection of him or his power or an opportunity for you to say, okay, I'm going to point my life to God. Because the supernatural, every time in Scripture, pointed to getting people to a place where they could worship, honor, and respect who God is and what he has done in their life. But we don't talk a lot about the internal in so many different areas of Christianity. We're all talking about what God can do on the external. And today I want to talk about internally. God's focus is an internal work. Doing something externally is not God's ultimate desire. It's more important to him that you and I get fixed internally what we've got messed up. So it's an internal. He is concerned with what's inside. What's inside? What's inside? What's inside? That's a great question, or it can be a bold statement. I can tell you what's inside. Or what's inside? Well, what is inside of you? And I want you today, as I'm talking, to relate not to my stories, not to someone else's stories, not to just one, but I want you to relate to your story. What is your story? Where are you at? God's attention is focused on what is inside of you. Young people, going to CMA, CMLA, you've committed yourself to a Christian environment. Okay, now get this. Bible and impartation time at CMA and CMLA is very relevant. I mean, it's there. You've got Bible throughout all of your teaching. And God's concerned with what's happening with what you're receiving in the Word. But sometimes we're so caught up with what's happening externally. And why is God not taking care of this? I don't like my life. This is not where I wanted to be. You've quit allowing yourself and Him to grow the inside because all you're doing is thinking about what He needs to be doing on the outside. And what I'm telling you today is you better get concerned with what's going on inside. But my friend treated me. Let me just tell you, God's bigger. God's bigger. But you just don't understand. I don't have this going on. All you're talking about is external. And what I'm telling you, God's concerned with what's going on right here. See, we've got to get a perspective of what's inside. It's what's inside. And if you're not concerned about what's inside, then you're only looking for a rich dad to come in and pay your way for you can get what you want. And what I'm telling you is the richest papa out there, the richest father out there, the richest person out there is God. He made it all. But you trying to access that without you getting concerned about what's right here, you've messed the whole thing up. I want to get deeper on this and explain it in a deeper content. You know, when you are at peace, when you are content in the Lord internally, then you start getting really content where you are externally. Well, Pastor, I don't know that I'm not talking about losing a drive and a direction and a goal and a vision. That's not at all what I'm talking about. I'm talking about while you're in that drive, goal, and vision, you're not continually living bound up, frustrated, and I don't know how to make it to the next day. That's not the life of a Christian, and there needs to be some work done internally so that it starts affecting your external world. But we're a driven society. We're believing God, and we're not willing to work 40 years to get what God has for us. I want it right now. And if you don't get the internal right and the external doesn't come on your time frame, then you're going to ultimately get frustrated with God. And I want to talk about, let's stay in a place with the Lord to where we can be right internally, and then we can watch Him grow in us, and then I'm telling you, as a result, we will see the external things start happening that you're looking for in life. Genesis 1:21, and you can just follow along or write these down if you're taking notes. So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that scurries and swarms in the water and every sort of bird, each producing offspring of the same kind, and God saw that it was good. Genesis 2:7 says, then the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground. He breathed the breath of life into the man's nostrils, and the man became a living person. On up to verse 18, then the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. Amen, men. Come on. Amen. It's not good for man to be alone. It's not good. So I'll make a helper who is just right for him. Genesis 2 verse 24. This explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife. The two are united into one. Now the man and his wife were both naked, but they felt no shame. There's a word that you don't hear, well, you're hearing it more frequently in our society. When I was growing it up, it wasn't something that was spoke of publicly, but now it's a drink you can buy at Walmart. And so it's talked about all over the place, and I understand that. But you have to see, man and his wife. Well, that's Adam and Eve. Let's give them the name. Adam and Eve are both naked, but felt no shame. I don't know if you ever thought about that, but they were both naked and felt no shame. Why? Because I know there are a few weirdos in our society that walk around and do some things naked, and they get arrested. And my grandmother would say, shame on you. That's shame on them. They shouldn't have done that. Why? Because being naked in public and out in an environment, I mean, that's shameful. Why would you do that? Put some clothes on. But it says right there that Adam and Eve are both naked but felt no shame. God created us a body. God created a body. And you know why he created the body? To hold what he was putting in that body. He created a container. And our body was created by God just to be a container. Basically Tupperware. That's what your body is. A vase, a pitcher, a container. That's what your body needs to... Because see, God created it and he didn't make the physical awareness that the body has. When God made the body, he didn't put the physical awareness of the body as the primary thought of man. He made a body and he put the mind and the spirit in the body so that the body then would be subject to what the mind and the spirit was telling it to do. I know it's getting kind of deep. Y'all follow me? Still clear? Okay. So there was no physical awareness of the body. And that's why when it said man and his wife were both naked but felt no shame, it's because the physical awareness of being naked wasn't relevant. What was relevant is the mind, the spirit of man in tune with the spirit of God. Chapter 3, verse 7. At that moment, there, Adam and Eve, their eyes were opened. And they suddenly felt shame at their nakedness. So they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves. What happened? Let me just read this. In chapter 3, verse 7, they felt shame at their nakedness. Genesis 2:25, both naked, but felt no shame. What happened between there and there? Felt no shame and now felt shame at their nakedness. Sin. That's what happened. Sin came on the scene here. And the moment sin entered, here's what happened. They became very aware physically of what was going on. And we live in a society, in a world that understands that sin has now made man very physically aware of everything that's going on. And so there is shame at nakedness because of sin. Sin brought in a complete reversal of God's creation. Now you say, how is that? It brought a physical awareness that God didn't create in the beginning. He didn't create a physical awareness. He just created a container to hold the spirit and the mind. And now instead of man being a spiritual being that just happened to have a physical body that carried around who he was, he all of a sudden had his eyes opened to a different way of seeing things. Man became a physical being that was in charge, no longer just a body that was a container of the spirit and the mind. That's the reversal. Now let me just jump forward. Jesus. Really, without covering everything else, let's just jump to Jesus. What did Jesus do? He abolished the hold that sin had on man. That doesn't mean we run around naked now. What that means is the sin no longer makes us have to be all physically mindful, but back to the spiritual mindset. Now, it's hard because we live in a fallen world. And it's work. And it's a daily working out of our salvation. It's a daily getting that mind, getting that physical man back in control and dominated by the spirit man. We became so consumed with a physical mindset that we gave up being led by the Spirit. And if you think about this, we still deal with it even after we're saved. We say, well, of course. Listen to the prayer life of most Christians. And if you're saying, well, that's me, then hear what I'm having to say today. It's very important. I'm not here to step on any toes. I'm just here to wake us up to something that I believe this week God's really been laying on my heart. Praying over your health, praying over your kids' health, praying for your job and your next promotion, praying over your dogs, your horses, your cows, praying over your car, praying over your money or your lack of money. This week it's a kidney that we're praying over. Next week it's a knee. The next week it's lungs, whatever it is. But not praying anything from an inward spiritual concept. Everything we pray is, God, would you bless, would you do everything externally? And know this, external is not God's priority. His priority is inward. And so if all we're praying about is everything external, then we're missing what God's design was when he does something external, was to point the heart of man back to him. The reason he parts seas is to do an internal work in your heart. See, the yes, God will provide a car, but it's for you to take others onto a spiritual walk by taking them somewhere, spending time with them, getting to where they are. God will provide you a house, and we were praying for that because ours burned to the ground several years ago. And you know, the one thing that we agreed on over everything else was we had to have a big area because we wanted as many people in our house as we could get and host and have events and do different things. See, it's families over, sharing with them, building up who God is in our lives. It's all for an internal purpose. The external happens. God, I need a healing because I haven't told so-and-so about Jesus and I need to go. See, there's an internal desire that has to motivate what's happening on the, are y'all hearing me? On the external. God, if we're not careful, starts becoming an external power source that we only call on for external crises. We got to change the way of thinking. Because God wants to do an internal work. Well, I just want to do whatever I want to do. And here's the problem with that. We think as long as we look good on the outside to everybody else, as long as we're not getting caught, as long as we look good to the teacher, we're okay. But there's all kind of sin going on in the dark or in the mind or in our thinker. And as long as we look good on the outside, though, I'm okay. Let me just tell you, what you look like on the outside has no account on eternity. You can watch every time an external crisis hits. A husband or wife walks out, a car wrecks, a bad doctor's report. You lose your job, you're not married, and you find out you're pregnant. You get fired, you cheated, you stealed, you lied, you were laid off, you got caught. You can see people running to the altars and crying out to God. I've seen it my whole life. My whole life. Crying, pleading, and begging God. God, here's what I'll do if you'll just see me through. And you start bargaining with God. God, I'll get it all right here if you'll get it right out here. Well, not an easy message this morning. That's why I set up the amens and the wows and that's right before I even got started. Crying, pleading, and begging God. God being the God he is, he sees you through. The pressure starts to lift, things get easier, and he sees you through. It starts working out, things are better. And what God's done is he set the stage for you to do what you said you'd do and return to him internally. God, thank you. And then I find the life of Christians so many times find themselves right back in the same sin, right in the same crisis. And why did you need God? And people will say, because I had an external crisis. Now, they don't use those words, but they'll tell you what the crisis was. This is what brought me to God. And some people here today, an external crisis brought you to God. You've stayed plugged in, and praise God for it. That's his intent. He would heal people so that he would lead people to him. It was all to get the internal right. Now go and sin no more. I want the internal happening. God, I need you. Why? Because they're getting ready to come take my car. God, I need you. Why? Because my wife just answered the phone instead of me. God, I need you. Why? Because my wife just left and no one even knows I was in trouble. God, I need you, please. Why? Because I can't pay my bills and nobody knows and we're just so deep in debt. God, I need you. Why? Because someone's been looking over your shoulder and you got caught on what you were looking at on the internet. God, I need you. Why? Because my whole life's falling apart. Let me tell you, none of those reasons are the reason you need God. The reason you need God is because something that was messed up on the inside. And Jesus came to fix that mess up and restore a relationship with God. And so many times, we're not caught up on the relationship. We're caught up on the car. We're caught up on the, oh, God, please just deliver me from this situation. I'm just needing you. Miracles happen, and the crisis is settled. And then we have people going right back to where they were, doing the same thing they were before and the same life. See, that God wants to do a work in us. A change starts on the inside. And as a result of you diving in and saying, God, I'm needing you internally, there's a change that takes place. See, when that change takes place, then you start seeing the things externally. The joke that they're telling at the workplace, around the coffee table at someone's house, isn't funny anymore. That joke's not funny anymore. Why? Because something happened internally. Oh, I don't. How are you handling this in this situation? You know what? I'm good. How can you be good? I know what's going on. Because you're only seeing what's going on externally. Man, God's been doing a work internally. And all that will come in line. It'll all come. And if it don't, it'll be fine. It's just better to be with Jesus. That's what the Bible says. See, if we get our mind surrounded internally, you watch how God will just open prison doors and let you walk out singing. But when it's not right internally and all you're looking for is the external, you're going to be sadly mistaken. And you're going to live frustrated. See, what was cute is now disgusting. The words you used to use now makes you squirm when you hear someone say them. Just telling you, internally. The movies you used to think were great, now isn't that, well, I can't watch that. I don't want to watch that. There's something internally. Well, the songs, I need to change the songs I'm listening to. I wouldn't listen to that song if you, I don't want those words coming into me because there's something that God's done internally. I'm just, to sit here and try, parents, if all you're trying to fix for your child is everything externally, you got a problem. You better work on getting the internal right. Because it's the internal that will make an eternal difference. The internal. Yes, we serve a God who is externally concerned, but he created eternity for us. And he is internally focused so that eternity can be what. But a lot of people are going to get to heaven and we're worshiping God and you're like, man, I was hoping for something different. I was hoping for all this external stuff. That's because you never had the internal where it needed to be. You got to get the internal right. Our prayer life so centers around what we need done in our environment or what we're dealing with, but it's very seldom about the internal. And God, right, God, thank you for right now just giving me joy. God, thank you for right now just filling me with your peace. God, you are so awesome. I am so amazed at all the external things you've done. But you know, internally I was messed up, and I am so grateful for my, just now that you're helping me think different. And then I'm going to even think different tomorrow because I've been more in your word. Psalm 51, everybody knows the story. Everyone's aware of David and his sin and what he did. Uriah was the leader. David was at home. He looks across the roof while Uriah is not there. Michelle and I were down, over in Jerusalem, and they were talking about the different rooftops, and we were standing on this one side of the hill and looking at the over and you other side, and you could totally see rooftops. And I know exactly how that happened. I've seen it, how that could have happened. And he's looking over at this roof. Well, here's the thing. If you're all externally based, let's look. Wow, God made that. Woo! And see, what externally, we start thinking about that. And we start finding ourselves heading in a direction externally we don't need to be. And that's where David was. He sees Bathsheba. You know the story. He blew it. He blew it. He messed up totally. But what I want you to see is his prayer in Psalm 51. Because we've all been David. Now, it may not be in that situation, but we've all blew it royally. Come on, every one of us, if we were in right standing with God, we wouldn't need Jesus. We weren't in right standing. Therefore, Jesus came in, hopefully and prayerfully did a work in our hearts, and we made some changes. Psalm 51, verse 1. Have mercy on me, O God, because of your unfailing love, because of your great compassion. Blot out the stain of my sins. Wash me clean from my guilt. Boy, David was feeling bad. He had to get that heart right. Purify me from my sin. For I've recognized my rebellion. It haunts me day and night. I've recognized this. Against you and you alone I've sinned. I've done what is evil in your sight. You'll be proved right in what you say, and your judgment against me is just. Have you ever prayed that prayer? God, whatever it is, your judgment against me is just. For I was born a sinner. Yes, from the moment my mother conceived me. But you desire honesty from the womb, teaching me wisdom even there. Purify me from my sins, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I'll be whiter than snow. Oh, give me back the joy again. Give me back that, please, God, you've broken me. Now let me rejoice. Please, I want to rejoice. Don't keep looking at my sins. Remove me from the stain of my guilt. Create in me a clean heart, oh God. Renew a loyal or a right spirit within me. Don't banish me from your presence. Don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and make me willing to obey you. Then I'll teach your ways to rebels, and they'll return to you. Forgive me for shedding blood, O God who saves. Then I will joyfully sing of your forgiveness. Unseal my lips, O Lord, that my mouth will praise you. And it's got to praise you, God. I got to be praising you. You don't desire a sacrifice, or I'd offer one. You don't want a burnt offering. The sacrifice you desire, God, is a broken spirit. You won't reject a broken and repentant heart, oh God. But we got to get to a place where it's not, God, please don't let them find out. God, you got to protect me from my mistake or everything externally is going to fall apart. No. Your punishment, everything, all of that is just, and whatever it is, I just want to renew my right standing with you. I just want to be in the right place. Church today, God wants to do an internal work in your heart. And you might say, Pastor, I'm pretty good here. I want to challenge you to work hard. This is what God's been laying on my heart over the last couple months. Work hard on the internal. Get the internal right where it needs to be. Today, maybe your eyes are open because the external works of God's all you've been focusing on, and I need the internal. Maybe it's a sin issue. David, I just can't get past this. It's just separated me from my relationship with God. And that's what you're reading there with David. I want the relationship restored. If you're finding yourself all week frustrated with where you're at and what's going on externally, then get the relationship restored. Get the relationship restored. Wash me clean. Wash the stain of my guilt. See, I am thankful God gives us a brand new start. Verse 4, David said, you alone have I sinned against God. You alone. It's not against someone else. It's against God. The principal, the teacher, your mom and dad are not the worry. You need to get concerned about what you've done to the heart of God. Church today, you can have what David prayed. You can walk out of here white as snow. You can do that because that's what God does. He restores. He's a God of a second chance. He's a God of, come on, just get the right heart. Get the internal fixed. And today, I'm not opening an altar to come up and pray over your finances. There are times we do that. I'm not coming up and saying, let's pray over our health. What I'm saying today, I'm opening an altar and saying, will you come forward and say, God, internally, I got to make sure I'm where I need to be. Not so that I can get all of the external, but so that I can get right with you. So that I can have an internal heart and that you flow out of me. When no one is looking, Lord, let me have a right heart. No. When everybody's looking, let me have a right heart. But we got people that won't come to the altar because they're concerned about what someone else is going to think about them. That's external thinking. Today, don't get worried about that. Well, they might think I'm in an affair because he was talking about David. Are you more concerned about what everybody else is thinking or the heart of God? We got to get the heart of God back in our situation. We need to get God in our camp. We need to get God where he needs to be in our life. Forgive me, God. I want your forgiveness. Lord, I want to quit getting so caught up on everything external and get the internal so that I can lay hands on somebody and they can be healed and then they point everybody to you and their hearts start getting changed. See, it's all about an internal deal that anything happens externally. We have an external life that we are physically seen out of a body and we can't let the body control what's going on or we get caught up on everything that the body has that brings pleasure and we need to get pleasure based on the spirit man. I don't know if I'm speaking to anybody today. God's after your heart. God's after your heart today. That's what I'm saying. Businessmen, young people, parents, college men and women, interns, God's after your heart. God's after your heart.
We're so glad you joined us. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit cmchurch.net.